hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Hallelujah. So there shall be a famine of the word. That does not mean that God is going to forsake the people, but God is bringing a season where he will lift the sons of righteousness. And when the world suffers a famine, when the world suffers a lack, when the world is under gross darkness, people under darkness, that is the time that the sons of righteousness will be lifted high. Because they will become the storehouse who did not waste time, and who were not very ignorant during the time of abundance. But during the time of abundance, they were in their secret place, storing up the storehouse. So when the world will suffer a famine, they will look to mammon. They will look to the economy. Economy will not be able to help them. They will look to the educated and the most highly influential doctors and scientists. They will not be able to help them. They will look up to politicians. They will not be able to help them. They will look up to everything that they can look up to. They will not be able to help them. And the only solution will be there with the sons of righteousness, will be there with Joseph, who has the storehouse filled. The only help that the world can get is the word at that time, and they will not get the word. There will be a famine. Hallelujah. There will be a famine. This is the time we have to ask God to cleanse our hearts and to uproot every evil, uproot every wickedness in us, uproot every secret sin, unknown sin, so that we can be cleansed and our storage capacity can be enlarged, for we to be filled with the word and we to become a storehouse of the word, like Joseph, who can release during the time of famine. So that is my trumpet blow, and it's the second week, and I want to blow the trumpet and warn us that there is a famine of the word coming. So let us understand the time and season and fill ourselves with the word of God. Hallelujah. Fill ourselves with the word of God. Word of God truly will be very scarce, very scarce. People will try to find it. There was a time where it was available, but they did not want it. But once that word will not be there, they will feel the need, and then they will hunger, but they will not be able to find it. So we have to, as the remnant, fill ourselves with the word of God. Hallelujah. All right, we are on the message of the model of righteousness. And I have been taking point by point revelation about the points, about the revelations that the Lord gave me about righteousness. But those who were not there from the beginning of the series, let me just tell you the definition. What is righteousness? Righteousness is to be consecrated, to perform the will of God, to be a practitioner of the word of the Lord, and to preach and teach boldly the utterance of God. These are the three requirements. When fulfilled, you are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. When you align to these requirements, you perform the will of God, you practice the word of God, and not it does not end there. You have to say, you have to preach, you have to warn as a prophet, you have to teach as per the utterance of God when the Holy Spirit leads you. So we had been going through a series of revelations about righteousness. The last time I ended, I told you the last revelation was a righteous vessel should have a track record and an evidence of his righteous life. Hallelujah. A righteous vessel should have a track record. If you are listening to a voice, you have to evaluate that voice has a track record of righteousness. It should not be that I became a prophet suddenly, I came out of nowhere, and my prophetic calling was from the time I was born. You should be skeptical when a person does not have a track record of righteousness. Do we understand that? Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I was before you. And now I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering on the altar of the Lord. So when that is the advantage of living a righteous life, that when you know the Lord is calling you home, you know it. And when you are going home, you depart in peace because your track record is clear. You are not there to settle matters, giving money to women whom the pastor raped or whom he covered up. There was one very famous apologist who died from the US. He was an Indian, but went and settled in US, and he debated. He was an intellectual. He was brilliant, but after his death, his scandals opened up. After his death, not any woman from the marketplace, learned woman with a husband, with families, with whom he had a scandal. They opened up after his death, and all his books and all his writings and content was taken out of Christian stores, and his organization was closed down. So, living a righteous life, we see as having a big ministry and saving many souls is a no. Living a righteous life, that is what God wants from you. And if a person who lives a righteous life has a track record of righteousness, I spoke to you from the example of Paul. I spoke to you from the example of Samuel. Okay, let's go there and we will go on to the next revelation from that chapter. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. 1 Samuel. Chapter number 12. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. And let's start from verse number 1. Okay. Because we are going to go to the next revelation from that very chapter. Let's start from verse number 1. Now Samuel said to all Israel, indeed I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and look, my sons are with you. Now there is something about the sons of Samuel that he is talking about, but we will look at that revelation in the next point. But he says, I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. So Samuel's ministry was a long, consistent ministry for many years. He served the Lord and he served the people of Israel in his prophetic office and in his priesthood office. Okay. Here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose donkey have I taken, or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed, or from whose hand have I received any bribe with which to blind my eyes? I will restore it to you. And they said, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Then he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. Then they answered, he is witness. Okay, stop there. Hallelujah. I am telling you, there is a radical apostle who came up and who brought a challenge, like Samuel brought a challenge and brought the congregation before him and told, if I have cheated anyone, you can come and bring the evidence if I have cheated anyone. And it was all the congregation he spoke to. It was not paid people he spoke to. I told you that one of the greatest evangelists in the US who passed away, greatest evangelist, having the biggest crusades of all time. In my time of prayer, I don't know, suddenly out of nowhere, I was not praying about him. But the Lord revealed to me what he was doing. He was paying people to fill his seats, so that his crusade can look the greatest. And I said, what is that? He said, everything that you see, don't believe it. You need to have the eyes of discernment, any which ways. any which ways. It was not paid people, but Samuel was talking to the crowd and challenging them. If I have cheated anyone, if I have taken a bribe, if I have said, you know what, I will do this for you, but give me so much money, or I have cheated and by force I took anyone's property and did not pay you, come before me and talk about it. And no one stood there. What is that? He had a track record. He had actually evidence of his life. And this radical preacher came up and he said, and he has an international following. International. And he came up and he said, anyone online, anyone in the church, if there is any woman whom I have molested or done any immorality, stand up, if you can say that. And no one could stand. And then he said, I challenge preachers who call themselves preachers to come on their pulpit and say that, and see how many people will come forward. And he was persecuted for saying that. And preachers who had international following, mega churches, got offended, and they started to say, oh, you know what, he is boastful, he is pride, no one can speak like, you know, we cannot speak like that, because the Bible says even if we lust, so every man lusts. So they became afraid because they cannot prove the track record of righteousness. If they come before the TV and say that, many people will come up, and it's already happening. You can see that. Old cases, 40 years back, the victims did not speak up, but now they are speaking up. And many cases are there. Apart from that, because of mammon and the power of mammon, their mouths were shut. But they cannot hide any longer. Righteousness, when righteousness will be revealed, when righteousness will rise, every wicked and evil immorality in the hidings will be exposed. There shall be nothing that is left in the hiding that should not be exposed. Jesus said, whatever you do in the secret, it will be exposed in the open. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Understand that? You might be thinking, oh, 50 years back I did that, but God will take an account. God will expose everything. Everything. So a righteous man is not afraid of it, because he knows his track record is clean. He knows his track record is clean. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? A righteous man should have a track record. Without a track record, anyone portraying righteousness and saying, oh, I am a preacher and this and that, his righteousness and his preaching is fake. That is as simple as I can tell you. When you walk with God, it will be a blameless walk, leaving behind the footprints for others to follow. Maybe it is a small ministry. Maybe it is not a big ministry, but you are leaving footprints behind you for others to follow. That's why Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Because if you imitate me, you will not displease God. I am walking in his ways. Hallelujah. That's righteousness. That's righteousness. Many preachers come in and say, oh, we are imperfect people. Elijah was angry. He was David committed adultery. And, preachers have weaknesses and we should not. No. Yeah, we will not expose them. God is already exposing them. God is already exposing them. The standard of the New Testament, even Apostle Paul says, when you ordain a bishop in the church or a deacon in the church, see that he is the husband of one wife. See that he is. There are requirements to be a leader. There are requirements to lead the church. No one, Tom, Dick, and Harry, can come up and say, I am going to lead worship. No, there are requirements. He should be a husband of one wife. He should not be short-tempered. He should not be a drinker of wine. Those are the requirements. He should not be immoral. Hallelujah. There should be a track record. Nowadays, I know churches that, oh, if you are leaving, no, don't leave. I will make you the leader of the choir. I will make you the leader in the leadership team. No track record. To ordain leadership, we have to observe people who are faithful in the church and those who have a clean track record. Those who are not immoral, those who are not given up to wine, only they can be ordained as leaders. There are requirements. What is the requirement? A track record. You understand that? Righteousness without a track record is not righteousness. There has to be a track record. There has to be a track record. Okay. From there, I want to go to the next revelation. Before telling you the next revelation, I want to ask you to come back to me with me to the scripture again. 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now Samuel said to all Israel, "Indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me, and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you." Stop there. The sons of Samuel. Hallelujah. Many people have asked questions to me about this biblical question, about this biblical context. The context is, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 8, let's turn back about the sons of Samuel. Can we go back? 1 Samuel chapter number 8. Let's see what it says about the sons of Samuel. It says, "Now it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah or Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba." So he ordained his sons as judges, all right, in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and called to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Stop there. So the question here is, the sons of Samuel, the Bible says, what? They took bribe. They perverted justice. In other words, they were unrighteous. And then the sons of Eli, remember, Hophni and Phinehas, they were also, their sins were more grievous, but they were also unrighteous. So why did Eli was removed from his priesthood, but Samuel was not removed? That is the question. How many of you have that question? Hallelujah. Okay. That means you don't do a critical study of your Bible. Do you have that question? Have you ever read across? Do you have questions? Okay. Any which ways. If you don't have a question, let the question be risen up tonight in the meeting. Okay. Hallelujah. People of God, are you there? Say amen if you are there listening to me here.
Amen.
Amen. Sister K is listening, but I want to see every other ones here. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, but that question will come to you.
Yes.
I'm listening.
Okay, yes. Thank you, Sister Javaika. She is there. Hallelujah. Okay. Any which way, some people are not able to come to the mute, but I think you are listening. All right, listen to me. So the question that we will raise up here is, why the sons of Eli, they were unrighteous, but Eli was removed, and the Hophni and Phinehas was killed. Eli also died. They were removed by God himself. But we see Samuel's sons are also the same. Why God is partial? God is not partial. Read the scriptures carefully. Now, the first thing that I want to bring to you, the base reason of why Eli was removed from priesthood and his generation, but Samuel was not. The reason is because when Samuel found out from the congregation that his children are not righteous, they are taking bribes, perverting justice, so on and so forth. When Samuel found out that, and the congregation said, we don't like your children, they are not walking in your ways. You are righteous, but your children are not. So we want a king as a judge. Instead of he keeping the sons and justifying the sons, he removed his sons from being as judges. So, hallelujah. Are we together? He removed his sons. But Eli, on the contrary, remember a prophet came to Eli and said, prophesied, you know, "You, and thus says the Lord, you prefer your sons over me, says the Lord." So you know your sons are perverting justice, but you still keep them there From that evolves a new revelation that I am going to teach called the Sons of Belial. All right? That is the entrance of something called as the Sons of Belial into a premises that is ruled by God. The entry of the Sons of Belial. Any which ways. I will not come to the revelation because I have kept it for a different, for next to this teaching. I have kept it next to this teaching. So once I finish this teaching, I will go to the Sons of Belial. Any which way. So are you understanding the difference? So when the complaint came about the children, your children are not walking in you. You are old. Maybe you take a retirement, Samuel. We want someone new. We want someone new. And Samuel, he was displeased because it was like, after serving these people from my childhood till my old age, they are treating me like this. They could have been courteous with me. So he felt bad. But God came to Samuel and he knew Samuel's heart and said, Samuel, don't worry. Don't be sad. They did not reject you, Samuel. They rejected me as king over them. So make them a king. And Samuel willingly left his position and made his sons leave their positions. That is what 1 Samuel chapter number 12 speak about. And his farewell speech to the congregation included a track record. So I am leaving my office, you know, because you wanted a king. I have made you a king. So now my sons are before you. I have removed them also. Now you tell me, did we do anything? And he might have restored things to people. That's why people did not come against his family. That you cheated or your sons cheated us. You see that in 1 Samuel chapter number 12? So a righteous man, you know, the preachers brag about, oh, we have weaknesses. I understand you have a weakness of lust, but you still go about sleeping with women. You have a weak point with lust. We understand that. But a righteous man falls seven times, yet he rises again. That means he corrects his errors and does it again. Do we understand righteousness? Hallelujah. Oh God. So Samuel corrected the errors. Samuel stepped down, took a retirement from being a judge, the main judge over Israel. He was the prophet of Israel, remember? And he also removed his sons because the sons were not doing it. And he said, we are getting out of our role, responsibility of our office. So now I have settled everything. Come out, anyone, and tell me if there is anything remaining. They said, no, everything is cleared. All right? That is my next revelation about righteousness. A righteous man is not attached to his position and to his titles. Do we understand that? A righteous man is not attached to his positions and to his titles. Tomorrow, a righteous man who labored with the word of the Lord and served a congregation, if tomorrow God says it's your time is up, you need to step down, I am bringing someone else, he will say, Lord, I am willing. He steps down, gives it to someone else. That is a righteous man. He says, not even your children, but someone else. You understand? He said, okay, Lord, whoever you have chosen. A righteous man is not attached to titles and position. And he is not biased with his family members and is not partial. That is one thing that pastors and leaders have to understand. That is one thing that we, even if you are not a pastor and leader, you have to understand. I have seen parents being biased and partial about their children. Your child is doing all sorts of sins in the world. No, but he is good or she is good, he will turn away. But if you see the same things in someone else's child in the church, you will go and backbite about him or her. I have seen that happening in the churches. You will go and backbite. Oh, you see, I found that a young girl, you know, so sister K, I'm just using the name. Sister K's daughter, I found her daughter with the boy you know, I don't know what's going on with them. We don't know. And your own daughter is doing more than that. But no, she is good. She is good. The parents have that mentality to be biased, to not evaluate and not to judge. And hallelujah, are we understanding? The children they have as per the word of God. Samuel was not like that. He did not say, oh, they are my sons, like Eli was like that. Eli's sons were even sleeping with ladies who came to worship. The ladies, pure and holy, came to worship there. They pulled the ladies and by force they raped the ladies in the temple. And Eli was, no, they are my sons. They will continue there. Oh, scandals would have come, complaints would have come to him, but he still keeps his sons. And that's why God told, you preferred your sons over me. You preferred your sons over me. We have to, not only for pastors and leaders, even in your life, don't be partial for your own children. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. I have seen parents destroying their children because they are biased and partial towards their children. I have seen parents destroy their children. But Samuel was not like that. He removed the sons. He made the sons jobless because you guys are not walking as the way of the Lord, in the way of the Lord. You cannot do that. He was not partial. Righteousness. I'm talking about the revelation of righteousness. Righteousness, a righteous person is not attached to titles and positions, and he or she is not biased with his family members. And it's not partial, but keeps the commandments of the Lord as the measuring scale for himself, his family, and his ministry. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? All right. So a righteous man is not biased for his family members. A righteous man. I mean, I remember I was in this church and I used to go. I was in the worship team before I started to teach. I was leading worship for quite some time. So I'm well versed with the worship ministry. But to get into the worship ministry, it took me 3 years. It took me 3 years. How? Because I was in this church. So I used to, they said, okay, 7 p.m. is the worship practice. Yours in such and such a place. I go to that place and no one is there. The worship leader comes after 1 hour. And I'm standing there with my guitar in hand. They start the worship. And I think I wanted to play the guitar in the choir. But I went for 2 years. I set up, but I did not get a chance. They did not give me a chance to play the guitar in the choir. It's not like a criticism, but I'm telling you. There was so many righteous vessels are cornered. But I'm telling you, don't be discouraged. God is watching over you. If people don't give a chance, so many people get discouraged. We will go out. No. Cling to the house. David said that it is better to be a gatekeeper at the house of the Lord than to dwell outside in the tents of wickedness. So whatever job you get, rejoice and do it. So I rejoiced and did it. There were so many rules and regulations that no one followed. But it was for people who were righteous that they put the regulations on there. There were so many, anyone who is not even baptized, how can they step into the stage? And the leader, the pastor of the church would break his own rules. And I saw him, his 9-10 years old girls who were not even baptized, did not even had an understanding of salvation, they put on the keyboard. Partial and biasness towards your own family members, a righteous man does not have. When Samuel heard that his sons were unrighteous, he removed his sons from leadership. That don't be Eli, be Samuel. You might think, oh, no, they are my children. But that error can cost you what costed Eli. It can cost you. So if you don't remove them, God will come himself. You are preferring your children over me. You are not removing them. So let me do the job. I will remove them. And I will remove you, who preferred your sons over me. Don't be like Eli. It's a big error. You are letting the sons of Belial to come inside the territory of God. When you do that, Okay, I will keep that sons of Belial the next preaching, but that is the revelation. What is the difference between Eli and Samuel? What is the difference between Eli and Samuel? One difference I have already told you. The next difference I want to tell you is Eli's leadership was weak. He did not exercise God's authority in his office and over the people God gave under him. Whereas Samuel's leadership, Samuel was a strong and radical leader. He exercised his God-given authority, not only on his sons, but even when it comes to rebuking and confronting King Saul. You see, God does not want weak leadership. Nowadays, pastors know, oh, you are addicted to pornography? No problem. You keep on watching. One day or the other, you may stop watching, but you keep on leading the worship. No, you cannot let anyone lead the worship. You cannot let anyone, because that is weak leadership. You are letting sin enter congregation. Remember Moses and Aaron? Remember them? When they said, the congregation said, let us build a golden calf. They took advantage of the, because a strong leader was missing that time. Moses was on the mountain. So the congregation took advantage. They knew, oh, that strong leader is not there to keep us under control. I'm not talking about a demonic control. Don't get me wrong. That type of worldly control. I'm talking about executing the authority of the Lord over God's congregation. You don't let the congregation loose, so loose that they are going about in bars, drinking alcohol and coming next day to the church in that same drunken mind. Because the pastor never minds. He lets sins. I don't mind sin. You see preachers in the US like that, many of them. I don't talk about sin. I don't address sin. My job is only to encourage. Nonsense. You are the entry gate to Belial. You know that? You are not a preacher. You are not a preacher. You are not a servant of God. If you are not a strong leader like Moses, like Samuel. Remember, Aaron built the golden calf. And told, because he came under the pressure of people. Said, you worship this golden calf. But when Moses came with the tablets of commandments, his heart broke to see what was happening. And in anger, he broke the tablets. That is my sermon on the reason for Moses' disqualification from the promised land. Many say he because of anger. He was angry before also. It was not anger. It was something else. But any which ways, I will not come into that. But he was angry. Not an anger that God was not pleased with. He was angry because the people started to worship idol. Worship the golden calf. And he broke the tablets of stone. And he came. And then he broke the golden calf into pieces. Made them break the golden calf into pieces. Mixed the ashes or the particles of that idol. Mixed it in water and made the people drink of it. So that they may realize that they have did a great sin in Israel. To provoke the anger of the Lord. That is a leader. That is a leader. Samuel, he removed his own sons. He did not leave Saul. It was not that, oh, only on his own sons. But King Saul, who had the power, he came and rebuked King Saul. And said, God has taken away your kingdom. God has taken away the kingdom of Israel from you. Because you have disobeyed the Lord. A strong leader. Do you know if Samuel did not do that, Saul would have wrecked Israel and made the nation of Israel a nation of idol worshippers. The way Saul was going. But because there was authority of men placed above the King Saul, that's why he was under control. That's why God places offices, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. That's why that order, if there is no leadership at the top, people will do whatever they want and make the church, the house of God, a place of circus, a marketplace. Do whatever they want that comes into their heart. If there are no executors of the word of the Lord, righteous, selfless leaders. Do you understand that? If God has chosen you, you cannot be that hanky-panky leader moving around like a chicken. You have to be a lion executing the authority of the Lord. You should not fear who is leaving my church, who is coming to my church. If I tell this, if you tell that, are you understanding? Hallelujah. Strong leadership. Today, because there is no strong leadership, there is the sons of Belial that have entered the church. Because of no strong leadership. I'm going to move on the revelation I taught you on this grounds in the next sermon, Sons of Belial, which will be very important. So let's wait for that sermon. Let us go to the next revelation of righteousness. Next revelation of righteousness. A righteous man stands for the word of God and executes the same in his life and his area of assignment without compromise and fear. A righteous man stands for the word of God and executes the same in his life and in his area of assignment without compromise and fear. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter number 12, the same scripture that we were reading. First Samuel chapter number 12, verse number, let's start from verse number 7. Okay, after we have already read how he presented his record before the people and there was no fault found in Samuel. After that, let's read from verse number 7, verse number 6, okay. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers." Now, he's giving his farewell sermon, because he's leaving his office and letting the king Saul, the new man, rule over Israel. So he's stepping down, taking a retirement. He removed his son. This is his farewell speech. Not a self-righteous speech, but the speech was about the righteousness of the Lord. Okay? A righteous man does not boast about his righteousness. He will tell the righteousness of the Lord to the people. So, listen to the scriptures. I'm going to read through the scriptures. See what he's saying to the people. Just listen to it. "Now, therefore, stand still," he's saying to the congregation. "Stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and your fathers. When Jacob had gone into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hands of Sisera, commander of the army of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. Then they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hand of our enemies, and we will serve you.' And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelt in safety. And when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired. And take note, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and do not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both you and the king who reigns over you will continue following the Lord your God. However, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourselves." So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins the evil of asking a king for ourselves." Then Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Even now, stop there. Even when Samuel is leaving and giving the farewell speech, what he is doing? He is executing the rod of iron, the control of the authority of the Lord over God's people, and warning them, first of all, God gave you a king does not mean that God is pleased with you and that's his plan. It was your plan to bring a king because God was your king. That was not the system that God designed. But even though God fulfilled your wish, God fulfilled your desire, but it is your wickedness still. And if you continue in that wickedness, God's hand will be against you. What he's preaching there is not a self-exalting preaching. I did this for you. I did that for you. I labored for you. I did not sleep. That brother standing there, whole night I did not sleep and prayed for him. It was not what he did. It was about what God did for the people and that the people should obey the Lord. That is the sermon of a righteous man. Hallelujah. People of God, can you say amen if you are there still? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That is a sermon of a righteous man.
Amen.
Yes, not self-focused. It is that the people should fear the Lord because the Lord is the righteous judge over them. The Lord is the one. So he's connecting people to the Lord. He's like a signpost. Okay? When the sons of Belial come, that it will be on the contrary. They will connect people to themselves through immorality. That's why Jesus said, many will come in my name saying that I am he, the Christ, but do not believe them. They will not say directly, but they will take the place of Christ and stop connecting the congregation to the Father. But instead, they will become the Father over the congregation. And you see that culture of papa, papa, papa. That is that Antichrist in the church, where people are not connected to God. You go in the church. I'm telling you, I know about the mega churches in India. More than 80% people coming there are serving idols and also coming to the church. They are just coming to the church because they are excited to get something from there. Breakthrough, miracles, job, US visa, Canada visa, Ireland visa, Europe visa, Schengen visa, whatever, Singapore visa. The major requests in the church are coming for visas. Okay, all night prayers are held for visa prayers because they want to settle there and do job and earn a lot of money. Okay, listen to me. Okay, I will continue on my sermon. I think people don't like jokes here, so let me continue seriously. Hallelujah. Okay, serious people, we will continue on the sermon. I will be serious, okay? This is what a righteous man does. He executes the word of the Lord. He connects people to the Lord and not to himself. Yes, Samuel executed the word of the Lord with no fear. And did not allow the spirit of Belial to enter and destroy the priesthood. Let me keep that revelation for my next sermon. I will expand on that revelation and mystery next time. So I will not go much into that. So let me complete that chapter. I ended on verse 12. verse 20. I ended on verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. Verse 21. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great namesake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. He is leaving his office because King Saul is going to take the charge of the people now. But he is saying that even though I am retiring, but I am going to pray for you. It's not that, oh, God removed me from my position. I am not going to pray. I am going to continue my lifestyle of prayer. Hallelujah. So many preachers, oh, I was preaching. I had a congregation. Now I don't have, so I don't. No. A righteous man does not matter whether he is a pastor, whether he is an apostle, even though he is not that, but he will continue his lifestyle of prayer. He will continue his lifestyle of interceding for people. That's what he is saying. Moreover, I will not cease to to pray for you and make that sin. Verse number 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. Hallelujah. A righteous man will declare the righteousness of the Lord and will be an advocate to prove the same to the people. A righteous man is always the advocate of the Lord. You know, we need advocates for the word of the Lord nowadays, because in the church itself, I'm telling you, but by what ministry is bringing out, by what I see in the congregation of God's people. Why advocate? Because there are so many, brother, you know, I did whatever I had to do, but God is not still answering my prayer. Brother, you know, there are so many years have passed by, I'm still in the problem. God is not answering my prayer. God, that means they have an anger in them against God. Anger, a lot of anger in them against God. They have a blaming spirit with which they are blaming God. Never let that come in you, I'm telling you. Now, to prove to this anger and blaming and wickedness that people are holding on to Christians, you need to advocate the righteousness of the Lord. And what did you do that you are demanding such things from the Lord? They are doing nothing. They will do 2-3 and say, oh, I did everything. Those people who say those things don't even understand the will of the God, will of the Lord for their life. They don't even understand to empty themselves, become in humility before the Lord, read the Bible, understand from the Bible. They don't even do the daily devotion in humility and in emptiness. No, God is not doing anything. God is not doing anything. In such a time as this, there needs to be righteous men and women of God who need to advocate for the Lord. You know, this family used to come to our church, and they had this crippled baby. And they came from the idol worship background, but they had a crippled baby. So when I prayed for them, prayed for the baby, prayed for the family, a little bit of his crippleness was loose. And I asked the Lord, why you are not healing him? Because the Lord said, because they are still not surrendered to me. They are still worshipping idols. They have just come to me so that they can find another chance. Let's see if Jesus can heal this boy or not. Let's see that. And they came to the church 2 Sundays. How many Sundays? 2 Sundays. 2 Sundays they came to the church. This 3rd Sunday, they did not come. When called them and asked them, they said, we came to the church for 2 Sundays. Still nothing happened. We did so much and came. Nothing happened. As if you are doing a favor on God, on Jesus. God knows the hearts of people. Even Naaman, who came in his pride and said, I want to get healed. God said, go. And go down in the river 7 times. If you don't do that, go back as a leper. No healing. Go back. You understand that? Elisha was an advocate to execute the righteousness and the authority of the Lord, like on proud people like Naaman. There are many proud people, not only outside, but inside the church. Many proud and arrogant people possessing the spirit of rebellion, always right in their own eyes. And God, if you walk the righteous walk in humility, God will give you words of fire. Words which will be like arrow, which will break the pride of people. Hallelujah. And make them realize that don't behave as you are righteous and God is wicked. You are wicked and God is still righteous. Hallelujah. Advocate for righteousness. Defending the faith, defending the word. I'd been doing that for all the time. Even when I was not having my own ministry, I have been advocating for the Lord, and God has been placing people, sending people to me who are of that nature. And I cannot take anyone blaming my God. No, I have to speak up. If someone talks about my Jesus negatively, if someone talks about my Jehovah God negatively, they can talk negatively about me, I will keep quiet. But about my God, I will advocate for my God. Hallelujah. That will only happen by a righteous man who is like a lion. Hallelujah. God gives him anointing. God gives him authority when he speaks. God gives him the wisdom. God gives him the word. Hallelujah. Because God knows this man is not fighting for himself. He's fighting for my kingdom. He's advocating for my kingdom. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be advocate for the Lord? Amen. If you want to be, say amen. All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, that is the revelations about righteousness. And then from this, we will go to the next sermon. And let me end here. And we will pray. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this time. We want to give you the praise, to give you the honor. We want to give you the glory. You said darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness shall people the people, but your glory shall shine upon. Hallelujah. Upon your children. And Lord King shall come to the brightness of our rising. The rising that is initiated by righteousness. Oh Lord Father, in this time and season, I know when righteousness is persecuted and cornered and not looked up to. Father, may you raise up vessels from this place who will choose to walk the paths of righteousness, who will choose to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, who will fulfill the requirements for righteousness. Oh Lord, because that is what you want. The Lord, righteousness shall boom in the Lord when the time comes, Father. Hallelujah. When the world falls down, your glory shall manifest through your righteous vessel. And may you raise up righteous vessels, Lord. Though, yes, it is difficult, it is hard. But Lord, it is within your presence, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is working in your will, Father. All these revelations, Father, about righteousness, Father. Let righteousness prevail. Let your word prevail in the name of Jesus Christ. And let every selfish stronghold, pride and arrogance be broken. Every fake righteousness be exposed. Oh Lord, they think, oh, people are exposing, people, not people, it is God who is exposing every wicked things hiding. Oh Father, shall come to light so that righteousness shall reign. And Babel and Belial that is taking over the church and making the house of God wicked and manipulating the teachings and the doctrine of God will be exposed. Hallelujah. When the righteous of the Lord will raise up like an army, bold, oh Lord, not fearing anyone, oh Father, not being partial, Lord, but Lord, being just a vessel, completely surrendered to walk in thy word, oh Father. Hallelujah. For even themselves, they make the measuring stick of the word of the Lord as their measuring scale for their own lives, Father. Hallelujah. No partiality, Father. No injustice, Lord. No perverting of justice, Father. Oh, which happened during the times of Eli, Father. Oh, la da ba ta ka ra ba ta ka no. Oh Lord, so that the house of the Lord will get its original foundations, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for each and every vessel, your Lord. May you minister to them, Holy Spirit, and teach them, continue to speak to them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, Lord. And we cover all the children of God with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, in the coming week, Lord, even as there are families celebrating Thanksgiving, coming together, Lord, I pray for your peace, for your joy, above all your presence, Lord, in the families, Father. I pray even as Christians that Christians this season will not be given up to intoxicating drinks, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Oh, Father, demonic music, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, I cancel in Jesus' name. Lord, but they will celebrate coming together of the family in holiness and in your presence, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. And even people from this group, even as they step into their family, let the righteousness upon them shine, Lord, that they will be bold speakers if anything goes wrong, Lord, that they will not partake in evil, rather expose every unfruitful works of darkness, as the Bible says in Ephesians, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you, Lord. Once again, we give you praise, Lord. Cover each and every family with the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen. God bless you. Sister, we will meet next week. Friday will be.